Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. We're looking at John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, the capital W, that's Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. That's Jesus Christ created all things. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now watch this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This might not make total sense to any of us still, but we know it says what it says. In him, that's Christ, was life. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. John 14:6. So in him, now you're going to get a lot of your Christology, beloved saints, out of John, especially chapter 1. Christology just simply means the study of Christ. Isn't it amazing that we have all of these church services and we're not even studying the one we claim to serve? I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there. Are you kidding me? We couldn't talk for 5 minutes on Christ. We want to find out what he could do for us because we haven't repented. That's an antichrist spirit that needs repentance. Life is all about Christ. The kingdom of God is all about King Jesus. And the kingdom is all about King Jesus. Now we're going to read verse 9. Notice, and remember, when you see this little video that I asked you to look up earlier on YouTube, just search, I already have it on Safeguard, by the way. So when you go to the homepage on SafeguardYourSoul.com, there'll be one, or you can search it in the box. It's called At the Moment of Conception. It's only a few seconds long. It's called At the Moment of Conception. You can just put in the word conception into the search box. It'll come up, but it's one of, right now, the top posts. At the Moment of Conception, and you're going to see absolute something you will never forget. They put a camera on the womb of a woman. And when the moment of conception happens, that coming together, that life that has been conceived, there is a light. You're going to see a literal light, God's light. It's absolutely incredible. And we're seeing it here in the Word of God. Verse 9, that the true light, that was the true light, capital L, Jesus. Notice this, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God lighteth or gives life to every man that comes into the world, that's born, that's conceived in the womb of his or her mother. So when you see the literal life of God coming into that child at conception, these scriptures are going to make more sense. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, that's Adam, and the first man, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That's what you're going to see in that little video that captures the light. So this is the miracle of conception, that God breathes his life into that child in the womb of the mother and makes him a living soul. You're going to see it on camera, captured in this final hour before Jesus' return. Now, we're talking about, this is every one of us. Every one of us is a special creation of God with a unique DNA. So what we're going to see here is we're going to go Alpha and Omega today, in a sense. We're going to go beginning and ending of our life as from the one who is the Alpha and Omega, Revelation 8, and that's Jesus Christ, who is the Almighty God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was and who is and who is to come. There it is. The Almighty. That's Revelation 1:8. So we're talking about conception. Every one of us was conceived in the womb of our mothers by the ordination of God, and he breathed his life into us and made each of us a living soul. And so during your life on this earth, every one of us is going to make a decision to receive the life of God in us, to be born again and to have a relationship with him, or we are going to reject that. And in answering the call of God to receive his life, his forgiveness for our sins, that is going to determine where we end up eternally. As a loving God, the Bible says God is love. God gives each of us the choice as to whether or not we are going to serve him or serve ourselves. And in order to begin to serve him, you must repent and receive Christ. When you repent and receive Christ, repenting means you simply acknowledge that you've sinned against God. And by the way, that's not a mystery. We've all sinned against God. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. And we've all had ourselves before God, right? We've all stolen something in this life. We took something that wasn't ours. And the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Anytime we were sexually immoral, even if it was in our own hearts and minds, it was fornication, it was adultery, and it was sin. All right, the Bible also says, thou shalt not kill. And by the way, if you kill in your heart, if you hate, you are a murderer, according to the Bible, in the eyes of God. So if you're not absolutely 100% sure that you are born again today, today can be your day that you make things right with God. God is love, and God wants to bless every one of us. And God sent his son, the Bible says, to bless us. Acts 3, verse 26. Now, I want a show of hands. How many people want God's blessing on your life? And so in order for us to receive God's blessings, we simply have to do it his way. If the Bible says God sent his son to bless us, that means God desires his blessing to be on each of our lives. And the Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So if we want to be blessed, our part, our responsibility is to repent, believe on Jesus, and walk with him according to his word. If we want God's blessing on our lives, we must repent, believe on Christ, and live as he called us to live. So God's blessing is going to come on those who simply do things his way and love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Bible says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So the Lord says that he desires that we walk in his ways, that we receive his life and blessing. He doesn't want us to live in death, but life. He wants to bless us. He doesn't want us cursed. And that's why he says, quote, choose life that both thou and thy seed or your children may live. That's why he says, choose life that both thou and thy seed, thy children may live. And that's why it's so important as a foundation that we choose that we're going to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Jesus commanded it, and God desires it, that we choose to love God supremely above all else. And the greatest hindrance to loving God is loving ourselves. Our whole lives are going to reflect who we love the most, either God or ourselves. This is a simple truth, but it's absolutely profoundly important. Only you as an individual can choose to love God supremely. When we love God, it's going to reflect in our lives because we're going to love everybody else around us. So Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as you already love yourself. And so that's what our lives are going to look like when we love God supremely, and He's the first love of our life, the first priority. It's going to be reflected in our own lives as His love flows through us to others. Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So notice, Jesus is the one who gave you life. In your mother's womb, He dreamed you up. He created you and breathed into you the breath of life. When you were conceived, it was ordained of God, and Jesus breathed into you in your mother's womb the breath of life, and you became a living soul. So notice Jesus in Jeremiah 1:5, the Bible tells us that before we were in our mother's womb, God knew us. From the foundation of the world, He foreknew that He was going to create you a special creation of God. There's no two alike. There's no two DNAs alike. We're all individually special to God. And that should make us love Him more, not ourselves, but God. Notice here that you were created by God. He knew you before the foundation of the earth. But He's not only the beginning, He's the ending. And guess what? Our lives on this earth are not over yet. They have not ended, right? Amen? And God says, Jesus Christ, the same one here who said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He said, you, to His own 12 disciples, that includes all of us, that you must endure with Him, that is, to the end to be saved. He initially saved you, but you are personally responsible to stay in absolute perfect communion with Him. And it's only sin that separates you from Him. No different, and Jesus gives this illustration, that if you're engaged, a man's engaged to a woman, guess what? He expects her to be faithful to him all the way up to that wedding and into the end of their lives. This is not hard to see. God gave us all these illustrations. I'm not making these up. This is Matthew 25:1-13, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them stayed with the bridegroom. They stayed faithful, their lamps full of oil. They were ready when the marriage came. They were ready. They stayed ready. The other 5 ran out of oil. They didn't stay with the bridegroom. They were unfaithful, and therefore they were shut out of the eternal kingdom of Christ, the bridegroom. And that's exactly how it is. When God saves you, when Jesus saves you, you're responsible to love Him with all your life and heart and to stay faithful to Him to the end of your life. Notice Paul in 2 Timothy 4, the apostle speaking of the beginning and the end, first and foremost of the Almighty Jesus Christ, we also have a beginning and an ending on this earth in time and space. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 6-8, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. In other words, I'm getting ready to leave the earth. But notice what he was able to say, saints. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Notice, he fought a good fight.
Man, if a boxer in a 12-round fight is swinging and fighting good all the way to the end, whether he wins or loses, whether he takes a bunch of hits on his chin or not, he's fought a good fight. Amen. You got to keep fighting, saints. You can't stop because you tripped up. You got to get up and fight. You got to get up, repent, let God forgive you, and march forward, forgetting the things which were behind you, all the sin and whatever else, good and bad, and reaching forth unto those things which are before you, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. You got to fight a good fight. The good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6, I believe it's verse 12. You got to fight the good fight. Well, wait a minute, brother. I got hit on the chin. Get up, beloved. Get up. You're not doing anything good by staying down. Get off the canvas. Stand back up. Raise your hands. Confess your sins and know that God says, I'm going to forgive all your sins and remove them as far as the east is from the west. We would all be down and out for the count if he wasn't forgiven. Remember, his compassions fail not. They are new. How often are they new? Here it is. They are new every morning. New every... You know the song. Great is thy faithfulness. So you got to live by faith. You got to live by faith. And the faith of God comes from the word of God. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just. To do what? Forgive all your sins and also to cleanse your conscience from all unrighteousness. You got to dare to fight the good fight of faith, to get up off the canvas. Don't whine and stay down there. Get up. Keep swinging. You got to fight a good fight of faith, Paul said. I fought the good fight of faith. That doesn't mean Paul wasn't without struggles and bouts and the thorn of Satan in his side and all of these other persecutions and being jailed. But he kept on fighting. And now at the end of his life, he's able to say, I have fought a good fight. If your life ended today, would you be able to say, I have fought a good fight? Now I'm going to leave that as a rhetorical question. Am I seeking the face of the Lord every day, living a life of prayer in the Word of God, fueled by it, looking for the return of Jesus Christ? Am I? Am I fighting the good fight of faith? Then he says, I have finished my course. I've done what God called me to do. If you knew you were going to die tonight, could you be able to say, I've fought a good fight and I have finished my course? I've done what God called me to do. All right, here's the third part. I have kept the faith. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that you don't have to keep believing. And Jesus said that there would be some that believe for a while. And in time of temptation, they would fall away. They would not keep the faith. In fact, right here, actually, 1 Timothy 4, 1, Paul said there will be those who depart from the faith. They don't keep the faith. Anybody like a Calvinist or once saved, always saved, eternal security, false teacher that tells you you can't stop believing is a liar, is a demonic fraud. We see right here that Paul kept the faith. That automatically means that he didn't have to keep the faith. He chose to keep the faith. In a genuine, authentic gathering of Christ's saints, the elders are not going to entertain the goats. They're going to feed the sheep. So Paul said, as we close this final passage here, that he was ready to meet Jesus. Amen. And he knew that his departure from the body, the fleshly body, was at hand. It was getting ready to happen. But he could confidently say that he fought a good fight in Christ. He fought the good fight of faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't care where you are right now. You can faith your way forward by just simply taking God at his word and saying, Lord, I've been a absolute depraved wretch, but right now I come to you and I surrender my life in repentance and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to take over. That's faith right there. God doesn't want anybody to perish. The Bible says he's not willing. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He sent his son to save everybody. Wherever you are now, it doesn't matter. If you'll turn to God by faith, he's going to hear you and bless your life. So listen, forget the past, man. Drop it. it. You're living in the now and you're looking forward. You look up to God by faith. You receive Christ afresh. You repent, which simply means you just surrender your life and admit you've done it wrong and you've been in sin. And God's going to wash you clean, completely clean of all your sin through the precious blood of Jesus. Notice that Paul fought a good fight. He finished his course and he kept the faith. And then he says, henceforth, or from here forward, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Why? Because he kept the faith. He's in the faith. So now he's going to be crowned by Jesus, which the Lord, the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. In other words, when he passes into eternity, he's going to be crowned, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And that's what we got to ask ourselves. Do we love him? If we love him, we love his appearing. If we love Jesus, we can't wait till he gets here. We're looking for him every day by the way we live our lives. You know, there's a new song out called Come Jesus Come. Amen. We've waited so long. That's an amazing song. I want y'all to play that together. I know the guy that originally did it did a great job, and then CC Winan just blew the thing into orbit. CC Winan now did that song, Come Jesus Come. I want you to play that song today. I want you to play it all week and fill your life with the praises of God. Amen. Fill your life with the praises of God, the Word of God, and live a life of prayer and look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.